الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. وفي الحديث عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله تعالى رفيق يحب الرفق في الأمر كله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders, beloved brothers, this is a hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, which I have recited, in which Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah ta'ala rafiq, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very gentle, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very soft. Yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kulli, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves gentleness, Allah ta'ala loves softness in all our matters, whatever it might be. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves softness in all matters. Now behind this hadith sharif, there is an incident that had transpired. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had moved over to Madinatul Munawwara, and he was residing in Madina Sharif. Then at that time in Madinatul Munawwara, the Jews were also residing in Madina Sharif. They had come and they were waiting for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew that the final Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to come to Madinatul Munawwara. Later on, they didn't accept that a separate matter altogether. But the Jews were in Madinatul Munawwara. Now these Jews, they were always the arch enemies of the Muslims and of Islam. Up to this day, they are the enemies of Islam. Quran says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. That most certainly you will find that among the people, that those that have the most amount of enmity for the believers are the Jews and the Mushrikeen. On one side, look at Israel, an arch enemy of Islam. And the Mushrikeen, Modi on the other side. Both working hand in hand against the Muslim. In fact, today, Al-Kufru Millatu Wahida. Kufr is one religion. They are all one. The enemy is one. That is the Muslims and that is the deen of Islam. So these Jews were in Madinatul Munawwara and always desiring to cause harm to the mu'mineen, to cause harm to the believers. On the other side, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always taught Sahaba that when you meet one another, then make salam to one another. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Make salam to one another. Our Shaykh beautifully explains, it's a different subject matter, but he says that this is such a greeting, tahiyyatan min indillah. This greeting has come from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, not a man-made greeting, tahiyyatan min indillah. Mubarakatan tayyiba. It is full of barakah, full of blessings. You enter your home, you make salam, barakah in your home. Go in your shop, make salam, barakah in your shop. You're going in your car, make salam, Allah will put barakah there. Wherever you go, and there's salam, there'll be barakah. Sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Ya Rasulallah, I got financial problem. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, read Bismillah, Durood Sharif, make salam, and read Surah Ikhlas, enter your home. You'll see, you'll have lot of barakah in your home. Sahabi started making amal on this. After a little while, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam met him. And Nabi alayhi salam asked him, how's everything going for you? He said, Ya Rasulallah, so much of barakah in my life, so much of barakah, that not only am I need now fulfill, I'm fulfilling the needs of my neighbors also, I'm fulfilling the needs of my relatives also. See, the barakat of salam. So, tahiyyatan min indillahi mubarakatan tayyiba. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught Sahaba, when you meet one another, make salam to one another. So Sahaba would make salam. Now these Jews, they used to also come and they would also make salam. But they wouldn't make salam like how we would make salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So properly, correctly, with the correct word, correct pronunciation, we must make salam. They used to change the wording. What they used to say? Assalamu alaikum. Which means now, destruction be to you, death be upon you. So initially, Nabi alayhi salam, Sahaba, they didn't pick it up. They thought that normally how a Muslim makes salam to another Muslim. So they are also making salam in this way. But later on, after some time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opened it up for them. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed Sahaba that they are not making salam. They are not making dua. Salam is what? When you're making assalamu alaikum to the next brother, you're making dua for him. That peace be upon you. So you're making dua for that person. Or another meaning of salam, among the names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, one name is assalam. Assalamul mu'minul muhaiminul azizul jabbarul mutakabbir. So assalam is the name of Allah. So when you're making salam to somebody, you're saying Allah ta'ala be with you. You're making dua, Allah ta'ala must be with a person. And the third meaning is this, that you're guaranteeing that person safety, that you are my neighbor, I won't cause any harm to you. I won't cause harm to your business, to your family, to your wife, to your daughters. I won't cause harm to anyone. So this is a dua. So nevertheless, they finally picked up that they are not making salam. They are making badwa. They are actually making dua for destruction. So on one particular occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with the Sahaba. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was also seated over there. It was a time when the laws of hijab and the laws of farda were not revealed as yet. So one Jew came, a few Jews came, and they made salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not in the correct way. So they said, Assalamu alaikum. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she got upset. What did she say? Wa alaikum assalam wal la'na. That may destruction, may death be upon you, and may curse be upon you as well. So after a little while, these Jews, they got up and they walked away from there. When they went away, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said that why did you reply in this way? That may destruction be for you and then la'nat and curse be upon you as well. Why did you reply in this way? So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did you not hear what they said? They said, Assalamu alaikum, destruction be upon you, death be upon you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I also heard that. And I also replied to them. Did you not hear my reply? What reply I gave them? What was the reply, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I said, Wa alaykum, same be upon you. What you are saying to me, the same be upon you. You making badwa for me, the same badwa be upon you as well. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zanahu. Wa yunza'u an shay'in illa shanahu. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. That this softness, this gentleness, when it is in any matter, Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zanahu. When this gentleness is in something, it will always bring beauty to that thing. And when gentleness is taken out of something, then it removes all that beauty and it makes that item defective. Wherever there's an issue, there is a problem, but you handle it in a proper way. A person is a little gentle. See, the result of that will always be good. And when a person becomes aggressive at that time, a person starts becoming hard at that time, then the end result also doesn't seem to be very good. So here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught a very, very important lesson of hilm, of tolerance, burbadi, what they call burbadi in Urdu. That always be tolerant of other people. Here the commentators of hadith, they have started the entire discussion here. And the discussion that they make over here, that if somebody has to swear you, is it permissible to swear that person in return or is not permissible to swear the person? Majority of the scholars, they are of the opinion that if somebody has to swear you, they say, the muhaddithin say, it's not permissible to swear that person. If somebody punches you, then it is permissible for you to now punch that person in return. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. That the recompense of an evil that was done to you is that evil equal to that can be done to that person. But Quran says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever forgives, he rectifies his matter, he reforms, then his reward is upon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Quran also says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. That whoever makes sabr, you're going through some difficulty, somebody is harming you, inconveniencing you, but you make sabr at that time, you forgive that person. This is from amongst the most resolute of matters. In another verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explaining a similar type of a subject matter, Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. That none are inspired to do this, to forgive other people. Somebody is doing bad to you, you do good to them. None are inspired to do this except those people that are patient people. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And none are inspired to do this except those that are the extremely fortunate people. They will be able to deal with people in this manner. So here, this is one lesson that we learn from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, there is a group of commentators that say it is permissible to retaliate exactly the same way. Somebody swears you swear them back and say exactly the same, nothing more than that. So this is one lesson. On another occasion, one Bedouin, he comes to Masjid al-Nabawi. Now the Bedouin, they lived in the jungle. They didn't know etiquette, etc. So he came to Masjid al-Nabawi. When he came to Masjid al-Nabawi, he read Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi. After reading Salah, he picked up his hand and he made dua. What dua he makes? Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada. وَلَا تَرْحَمْ مَعَنَا أَحَدًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on me. Have mercy on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But don't have mercy on anyone else, oh Allah. So look at the dua that he is making. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, he heard the dua, he said, لَقَدْ جَرَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy is so vast. You have restricted that mercy of Allah ta'ala. They say in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, how great is Bismillah. Learn the fazail of Bismillah. In Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we got two qualities of Allah ta'ala. Rahman and Rahim. The name Rahman, that is Amur Rahmah. Amur Rahmah means the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala encompasses everything in the world. From the time of Adam alayhi salam up to this day, whatever has been created in the world, in that is the mercy of Allah, that is why it came into existence. And from this point, right up till the day of Qiyamah, whatever is going to be invented and whatever is going to be created, in that is the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is why it will be created, because of the mercy of Allah. So therefore the ulama have written that no one in the world has that amount of rahmat, no one in the world has that amount of mercy that encompasses everything. That is why nobody can keep the name Rahman. Rahman is exclusive for Allah Ta'ala. Two names, the name Allah and the name Rahman, you only get a singular of it. You don't get a dual of it, meaning two people, and you don't get a plural of it, because Allah Ta'ala is only one. So these two names are exclusive for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So yeah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لَقَدْ جَرَّرْتَ وَاسِعَ, that somebody whose mercy is so vast, you have restricted that mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So after a little while, this Bedouin, he stood up. When he stood up, he walked away. And then he goes into the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi, and he starts urinating in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. He's a Bedouin, he doesn't know etiquette. So he gets up and he starts urinating. It is mentioned Sahaba get up. And Sahaba want to advance towards this man, towards this Sahabi, this Bedouin. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave this Sahabi alone, leave him alone. He is a Bedouin, he has already started. By you reprimanding him, nothing is going to happen. He's going to cause more mess over here. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, دُعُوهُ فَأَهْرِقُوا عَلَيْهِ ذَنُوبًا مِمَّا أَوْ سِجْلًا مِمَّا فَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. That take some water, just pour water over this and wash it away. In that time, Masjid al-Nabawi had no carpet like we have today. It was bare ground. Just take some water, pour water over it and let it be washed away from there. And you have been sent to make things easy for the ummah. You haven't been sent to make things difficult upon the ummah. So a great lesson to be taken is that of tolerance. What tolerance, what level of tolerance Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. There was one great buzrug, Mirza Jane Jana rahmatullahi alayhi. So Allah Ta'ala inspired Mirza Sahab on one occasion. There is one woman that is in the town. Very, very ill-tempered woman. If you make nikah to this woman, if you marry this woman, then I will honor you, I will elevate your status. So after Allah Ta'ala inspired him, immediately he sent a proposal for this woman. So this woman, she accepted, he made nikah to her. It is mentioned, what a tongue, she is to be vulgar. And the moment he enters the house, she is to start with him. But Allah Ta'ala had promised him, Allah Ta'ala inspired him, I will elevate you. So when he would come into the house, he would come and sit down. She would start now firing him all that, start firing him. And she would say whatever she wanted to say. He wouldn't respond. He wouldn't say a single word. And then he used to leave. After she was finished, she was now completed, he would get up and he would walk away. But every morning, he was a great sheikh. So many muridin, so many followers he had. So every day in the morning, he would send one person from his khanka that go there to the house and get a list. What does she want for the day? So the murid was to come and used to ask her what she wanted. But he had given instructions to the murid that she is going to reprimand you. She is going to be rude to you. She is going to be vulgar to you. Don't you ever say a single word to her. So he used to come, he used to take the list, go back to Mirza Sahab, give Mirza Sahab the list. This is what she wants for the day. So one day, Mirza Sahab sent another murid. He said, you go and you bring the list and you come. So when he went there, she started firing him up. Now he had so much of love for his sheikh, so much of love, that he told her, he said, if you don't stop, I'm going to kill you now. So Mirza Sahab said, bring him back here quickly. So they brought him back. They said, you didn't know, he told him, you didn't know how to deal with the situation. So he sent another murid, he said, you go and you bring the list and come. He went, he took the swearing, he came back with the list, finished. Matter was now sorted. Then Mirza Sahab told him, he said, see, that I am a person who has a very, very delicate temperament. Such a delicate temperament he had, that if there was a flask, you know, on the top of the flask is a cup, ne? So that cup, if that cup was a little bit crooked, it should give him a headache. That's the temperament that he had. In the clothing, if something was not right in the clothing, that will now give him a headache. That was the type of person. If the bedding was not set properly, he was meticulous. Everything must be accurate, 100%. If it was not put properly, and that will also now trouble Mirza Sahab. But he said that from the time she started picking on me, and she started being vulgar and being rude to me, and I tolerated all this irritability that was in me, all this has disappeared. Allah Ta'ala made my Islah. So see how Allah Ta'ala elevated him, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala honored him. So this is something that's not easy, this tolerance. But if a person goes through the process, then won't Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala raise that person? That is why Thanvi Rahmatullah has written, many people, Allah Ta'ala has written a very high stage for them, a very high stage of wilayat. But because of their actions, they can't reach there. So then what Allah Ta'ala does, Allah Ta'ala puts them through some difficulty here, some difficulty there. They don't realize what is happening. Through that difficulty, the islah is getting made. Now they crying to Allah Ta'ala, I'm going through this problem in life, I'm going through that problem in life. But in the meantime, they're being elevated. And then finally comes that stage in their life. Now when they look back, oh, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where was I? If I hadn't gone through all these problems, I wouldn't have reached where I am today. A person, he had a business. And he, big complex he bought, now he can't get tenants for that. But he started reading tahajjud namaz. And now he's crying to Allah Ta'ala every day, Allah give me tenants. 6 months later, all, his entire complex is full. But the tahajjud namaz that he started, now he continues with that tahajjud namaz. So see, what Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him tahajjud. But to get that tahajjud, what he had to go through? He had to first look for tenants. So through that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him his tahajjud namaz. So in this way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes the islah of many, many people. Now the opposite of this hilm, the opposite of this tolerance is what? Is anger. When a person doesn't have tolerance in him, then a person is going to become angry. Now this anger, this is a sickness of a coward. Normally we get angry on who? Somebody that is lower than us. The wife is lower, so you'll be angry with the wife. A person, his children are lower, so you'll be angry with the children. But a person that is senior, you can't get angry with him. Your boss, you can't get angry with your boss. So now when you can't get angry with the boss, what is going to lead to? Now you're going to hate the boss. Why? Because you can't vent your anger out there. So you become angry with him now. Now you cannot vent it on the boss, so you're going to have hatred in the heart. You can't vent it on the boss, so you're going to have now malice in the heart. Now all these are illnesses that are haram. You can't vent it on the boss, so you're going to now with the co-workers, you're going to make ghibat about the boss. All this happened, why? Because a person has got anger. But if he had tolerance, little bit of tolerance, the whole matter would be sorted. It's mentioned in the kitab that one person, he went to one buzruk. And he told the buzruk that I heard the awliya, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, they also have different temperaments. So he said that I want to see the different temperaments of the buzruk. Many people, they object. They say, oh, this person, he can't be a buzruk. He's too hard, this man. And that man, he's so soft. That man can be a buzruk. So this person also, when he went to this chef, to a hazrat, and he said, you know what, the buzruks have different temperaments, and I want to check it out. So he said, you know what, why you want to get involved in all this? Leave all these matters aside. Don't worry about all this. Many people, they want to test the buzruks. They want to test the ulama. This is a very, very dangerous practice. A person can totally destroy himself if he goes to test ulama and he wants to test the buzruks. But nevertheless, this man was genuine. So the buzruk that he went to, he said, okay, go to a certain masjid in Delhi. There are 3 buzruks that are seated there and they involved in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. What I want you to do is go to them and give each one a punch from the back. And then see what is their reaction to it. So when he went to the masjid, there were 3 buzruks all in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. When he punched the first buzruk, he didn't turn around, he didn't say anything, he continued with his zikr. Then he went to the second buzruk. When he went to the second buzruk, he punched him. That buzruk, he turned around, he gave him back one punch. And then he went to the third buzruk. When he went to the third one and he punched him, the third one turned around, he said, bhai, you punched me on your hand, did you get hurt also? So nevertheless, now you have to now go and report what happened in the masjid. So he went to the buzruk that sent him. So the buzruk asked him, what happened? He said, the first one, nothing, no reaction. He continued. Second one, he said, he punched me back. So the buzruk asked him, he said, did he say anything? He said, no, he didn't say anything. He said, and the third one, what happened? He said, no, he asked me, did I get hurt? So now the buzruk explained to him. He said, you see, the first one, when you punched him, he said, why must I waste my time taking revenge? So much of time is going to be wasted in taking revenge. And really, what am I going to get? If a person, he takes revenge, that fire that is burning in his heart, that fire will cool down a little bit. I got him back for what he has done to me. But if you just make a little sabr, if you are tolerant, then not that fire of the heart will be extinguished, but the fire of Jahannam will be extinguished. So he said that he had no time to waste with you. And then the buzruk gave him an example. He said that the king, he says to one person, that come to my court, I'm going to give you a very, very valuable jewel, very, very valuable gift. So he said, now this person, he has to go to the court of the king. But in going to the court of the king, he got late. He got late. So now he started running. As he's running, one person punched him. Is he going to worry about the punch of that person, or he's worried about the gift that he's going to get? So he says, exactly the same way, one subhanallah, you got a tree in Jannah. One alhamdulillah, you got a tree in Jannah. You worried about punching that guy, or rather get your tree in Jannah. So he said, the first one, this was his practice. He said, the second one, he acted upon, Shariat has given you the permission to retaliate. He said, he retaliated exactly. You punched him, he punched you back. He didn't say anything extra to you. Why? You didn't say anything to him, so he didn't say anything to you. So he also acted on the concession of Sharia. And the third person that you went through, that Buzruk had so much of affection, so much of love for the Ummah, that he said that, did you even get hurt? So he said the first one, he acted on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem. This is the actual sunnah. That don't waste your time in this revenge and getting back at this one, getting back at that one. You continue doing your work and you need to reach your destination. You need to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, our akabirin and our pious predecessors, they all had hasidin. They had many, many people that had a lot of jealousy that were against them all the time. That is why the Zakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi Hazrat used to say, we heard from our Hazrat, used to say that if a person is doing the work of deen and you got people that are in opposition to him, there's no need to worry about this. You do your work of deen. Why? You are ala min hajin nubuwa. You are on the path of nubuwa. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they were the greatest. But how many people were against Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam? So one person now is walking behind Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi on the street. As he's walking behind Imam Sahib rahmatullahi, he's swearing Imam Sahib rahmatullahi. So they came to the road where the road was now going into two different directions. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi said that this person, maybe he's going in a different direction, I'm going in a different direction. So he hasn't sworn me enough. So now let me stop here and let him sway me as much as he wants, and then he can go in his direction, I'll go in my direction. Now look at that tolerance. So Imam Sahib stopped there. He said, "Bhai, how much you want to swear, swear. When you finish, tell me. Maybe you're going in a different direction, I'm going in a different direction." Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, it is mentioned initially, Imam Sahib rahmatullahi used to wake up for tahajjud namaz in the latter portion of the night, later at night. But one day he was walking on the road. So one person is telling the other person, "Hey, you know this man? This is the man that reads tahajjud namaz the whole night." So when Imam Sahib heard this, he said, "People think I'm reading tahajjud whole night, but I'm waking up in the latter portion of the night." So he said, "No, let me start reading tahajjud." So from that day, Imam Sahib rahmatullahi started making khatam of the Quran, one khatam every day. And for 40 years, same wudu he read Isha, same wudu he read Fajr. So that was Imam Sahib. 40 years this was his practice. And then after Fajr, he's not going to sleep for a little while and then waking up 8 o'clock again. Imam Sahib rahmatullahi, after Fajr, was time for lesson now, to impart dini lesson. And then he was a big businessman also, and what business he is to conduct. Subhanallah, there's so much to learn from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Let me just mention this one incident is coming to mind. Imam Sahib rahmatullahi, one day he was walking. So it was a hot day. And we know the Arab countries, how hot it gets. So as Imam Sahib rahmatullahi is walking, he would walk in the shade of the houses. Where there was shade, because of the roof, he would walk in the shade. But when he would come to a certain house, he would move away. And then he would walk, and then after that house, he would come back into the shade. So somebody noticed this. So they asked Imam Sahib rahmatullahi, "Why you move away? Why when you come to this house, you don't walk in the shade?" So look at the answer that he gave. He said that this person, the owner of the house, I loaned him some money. And it is not permissible to take any benefit from the person who you loaned money from. Because he's owing you that money, now you want to take benefit from him, it's haram. It's not permissible to take benefit. So he says, that is why I don't walk under the shelter of his home. I pass his home and then I come back into the shelter. So that was the level of taqwa of Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, so right up to Zohar, now he was busy, he was in business. And then from Zohar to Asr, Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to rest for a little while. And he used to live on the top floor. So he used to enter from the bottom and then go on to the top floor. So one day Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi came home. When he came home, he walked to the top floor and he went and he lay down. So there was a knock on the door. So he came down, he opened the door, there was one person. So this person, Imam Sahib rahmatullahi asked him, "What is it?" So he said, "Imam Sahib, there was a masla I wanted to ask you, but I forgot the masla." Imam Sahib said, "No problem, you go. When you remember the masla, then you come back to me." So he went away. Imam Sahib rahmatullahi came up. Again, Imam Sahib rahmatullahi lay down. After a little while, there's a knock on the door. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi came down. He opened the door. "Ji bhai, what is it?" So he said, "Imam Sahib, I remembered the masla up till the point that you opened the door. When you opened the door, I forgot the masla." So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi said, "Never mind, go by. You, when you remember the masla, you come back. By now a person is fuming now. You want to get rid of this person." So when he gets back to the top now, he lays down. There's a knock on the door. So again Imam Sahib rahmatullahi comes down. Opens the door. "Same man, what is it?" He said, "Now I remember the masla." So he said, "What's the masla?" So he said, that the feces of a dog, or some kitab got the feces of a human being. When a person, he passes stool, the feces, is it sweet or is it sour? Now look at the question he comes with. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi says, "See, when it's fresh, it is sweet. And when it becomes old, it becomes sour." So he said, "Did you taste it? How you know about it?" Now, imagine now what he's telling Imam Sahib. See, tolerance. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah was a very logical person, very, very intelligent, very logical person. That is why many people, they call the Ahnaf, Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, Sahibur Rai, Ashabur Rai. That these are people of opinion. Because Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, so many masail of fiqh, he had deduced and he extracted just on assumption that if this scenario has to crop up, then this will be the masla. And if this scenario has to crop up, then this is going to be the masla. One day he went to meet Imam Malik Rahmatullah in Madinatul Munawwara. So when he met Imam Malik Rahmatullah, after meeting him, he left. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah asked his student, he said, do you know this man? So the student said that, no, we don't know who this man is. He said, this man is so intelligent, he is so intelligent, that this pillar that is white over here, if he tells you this pillar is gold, he'll be able to prove it to you that the pillar is gold. That is how intelligent Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi was. So nevertheless, Imam Sahib Rahmatullah told him that everything you don't understand through tasting. Many things you understand through logic as well. He said that when it is fresh, then you will find that the flies are attracted to that feces that is there. That's an indication that it is sweet. And when it becomes old, the flies are not attracted. And normally they don't go towards something that is bitter. So that's an indication that it has become bitter. So he tells Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, today you have defeated me. So Imam Sahib said, what did I do? How did I defeat you? So he said, I had an argument with somebody who is the most tolerant person of the time. He said, Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah. And I said, Imam Abu Hanifa, Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah. And that person said, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah. So I said, let me go and test the tolerance of Imam Sahib Rahmatullah. So that is why I came in the afternoon and I tested your tolerance. And now I conclude that you are the most tolerant person of the time. So see, on one side, if he went to on the opposite, if he got angry, then what would have been the consequence? And when he was tolerant, when he exercised hilm, burbadi, look at what was the consequence and what was the result of this. Imam Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, he used to narrate this incident. And then Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah used to say, oh Ahnaf, oh followers of the Hanafi Madhab, don't only follow Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah in your namaz and in your roza. He said that in Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, not getting angry with other people, you follow Imam Sahib Rahmatullah in this as well. Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah in his wasiyat nama. Wasiyat nama means the last will. What we write, the last will. So in his last will, he had written that even after my demise, those that are my muta'alliqeen, that are connected to me, if they can't control their anger, they got nothing to do with me. And if you can control your anger, then you are part of me. It is mentioned, Muhammad Masihullah Rahmatullah, his temperament had become such that even a scorpion, he couldn't kill a scorpion also. So on one occasion, he wrote to Mawlana Tanwi Rahmatullah, his sheikh. And he told Mawlana Tanwi Rahmatullah, my nature has become such, my temperament has become such, that I can't even kill a scorpion, which is dangerous and must be killed. So Mawlana Tanwi Rahmatullah wrote back to him, and he told him, if you can't kill the scorpion, no problem. You don't kill the scorpion. But show the scorpion to somebody else so that nobody is harmed because of the scorpion. On another occasion, Hazrat was, he had a wound on the hand. And when there's a wound, an open wound, what happens? The flies all get attracted to it. So the flies were all coming and sitting on the wound. So one person came to Hazrat, he said, see, there's a wound on your hand over here. So the flies are sitting there. So he said, wo apna kaam karta hai, main apna kaam karta hoon. That the fly is doing his work, I'm doing my work. Let us both carry on with our own work. Don't worry about all this. So look at the level of tolerance. This is when a person, he reaches somewhere, he becomes the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. I will just conclude, my time is already up, that Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah. Now look at again the tolerance of our akabirin. Allah give us that level of tolerance. Or many a time we used to always say, Allah give us little bit of it. One ustad of mine, he corrected us. Mufti Amjad Sahib, he corrected me. He said, why ask for little bit? Allah Ta'ala's treasure is unlimited. Allah can give you full. So ask for full. Why are you asking for little bit? So nevertheless, so Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, he was from Kandla, very, very great buzruk of his time, most learned person of in his village. So everybody knew him, everybody respected Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah very, very greatly. So on one occasion, Hazrat, he undertook a journey. Now in those days, they used to have the Musafir Khana. So wherever you settle down now, it's now Maghrib time, Isha time, you stay in the Musafir Khana. Next morning, early morning, you depart again. So he stopped in one Musafir Khana. So when he stopped in the Musafir Khana, there was a Banya, Hindu, that was inside. So when he went inside, then they started speaking. So the Banya asked Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, he said, where are you going? So Mawlana said, I'm going to a certain place. And in those days, they used to travel early morning. Before Fajr, they used to depart on their journey. So he says, I'll leave early morning and I'm going to a certain time. Inshallah, by a certain time, I'll reach my destination. So then Mawlana asked him, he said, where are you going to? So the Banya, he said, see, there's my son that is here. I've brought my son with me. And my son got a gold bangle on his hand. So he said, we want to go to a certain place and sell the bangle. And then we want to start some business with that money. So So they spoke to each other, and then Maulana went to lie down to rest, and the Baniya also went to rest. In the morning, Maulana, he woke up, he read Tahajjud Namaz. After reading Tahajjud Namaz, he departed on his journey. When the Baniya woke up, he went to his son. Now he went to check the hand of his son. Is that bangle there or is the bangle missing? So when he went there, he saw, oh, the bangle is not here, bangle is gone. So what's the first thing came to man? Oh, Maulana stole the bangle. So immediately he said, we need to catch Maulana. So father and son now, they got out, now they're going behind Maulana. So they caught Maulana. So when they caught Maulana, then the Baniya punched Maulana. So Maulana said, bhai, what's the problem? Why are you punching me? So he said that you stole the bangle. Where's the bangle? Maulana said, I don't have any bangle. You want to search? There's all my goods. Everything is here. You can search me. You can search the goods. There's no bangle over here. So he said, no, nobody knew about the bangle. You knew that we're going to sell the bangle. You stole the bangle. So Maulana said, I never steal the bangle. So he said, all right, no problem. If you never steal the bangle, now I'm taking you to the police station. So Maulana said, first he thought to himself, no, let me defend myself. I'm in the right. He's in the wrong and he's accusing me. I haven't done anything wrong. Let me defend myself. Let me also fight him back. Then Maulana thought to himself, said, no, it's your fault. Now look at what level of humbleness, what level of tawaz. This is what Islam is all about. Allah give me tawfiq. We are speaking, we are most in need. Everyone is in need of it. So he said to himself, he said, it's my fault. Why it's my fault? Because the ulama in those days, how they used to dress. One simple lungi, one simple kurta. When you look at them, you think, oh, it's a bichara. But what ulum Allah had blessed them. What marifat Allah had blessed them. What love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed them with. The love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What knowledge of deen Allah ta'ala had blessed them with. It is mentioned, so Maulana said that this is my fault. Because I dress in this way, this person looked at me and now he suspected I'm the chore. But in reality I'm not the chore. So he is misunderstanding, but it's all my fault. So he said, okay, let's go to the police. So that person now wants to hold Maulana like a criminal and take Maulana to the police. So Maulana said, no need to do all this. I'll walk with you. I'll come with you. Don't worry. Let's go to the police. So they went to the police. When they reached the police station, so the police came in front. So the police asked, what's the problem? So he said, this man stole. So he knew Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Saab. He said, this is such a man that you won't even get malaika and angels like this. This is such a man. So that's when the Baniya's eyes opened. No, this can't be the man that stole. So the police said that you have humiliated him. You have humiliated him, and for that I am going to punish you now. So Maulana said, no, it's actually my fault. So he said, why? He said, he misunderstood the way I dressed. He thought I'm the thief and I stole it. So forgive him, let him go. So this is the great lesson that we learn from here, that is of tolerance. If tolerance can come into the ummah today in all our aspects, whether it is our business partnerships, whether it is inheritance matters, whether it is marital matters, domestic matters, all our problems will be resolved. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah.